Welcome to this amazing, mind-blowing podcast.
And here with Isaac Chadwick. Isaac is a 23-year-old freelance surf videographer and recent alumni of Otago Uni, but is now based out of Tauranga. Most recently, you released Almost Pumping, presented by Hydro Surf Shop, a film that contrasts the kind of idyllic sunshine and rolling waves of Indonesia with the rough landscapes, cold and harsh waves of Otiputi, Dunedin. How are you today, Isaac?
Oh, not too bad, Lily. Kind of been boosting around, trying to suss a bit of work currently up in the wonderful Tamaki Makaurau.
So let's take it right back to the beginning. How did you first get involved behind the camera? What are your first memories of filmmaking?
Kind of when I would have been about like 7 or 8 or something. I remember I spent a lot of time making like stop motion video with my Lego at the time. Like I honestly spent like a stupid amount of time as a kid, you know, like setting up these little scenarios and, you know, imagining all these crazy backstories and all that and putting them together. When Dad showed me like Star Wars when I was a kid, like that was, you know, that's pretty mind blowing to any, you know, 8-year-old boy who hasn't seen anything like that before. It kind of, yeah, kind of blows your mind. And then I remember, like, yeah, Lord of the Rings when I was like a couple years older as well, was just like, oh my god. So yeah, I guess when I was about, was it 15 16, moved to Tauranga and got involved with surfing, and like I was like, oh well, I can kind of combine these two things, because, you know, surf film media kind of exists in this weird space where there's like this sort of, you know, defined ways of doing it, but at the same time, you can kind of do whatever that you want.
It's a very open medium. You're right, there is no real structure to it, so it's kind of where your creativity and your homemade narrative comes through. Post release of Almost Pumping, it's been a while now. How did it feel to get it out? How did the response feel?
Yeah, it was pretty sick. We had kind of had the idea while we were filming it in Indonesia. I seen a wee press release came up that said that Surfing Nationals was going to be in Dunedin in January of this year. And I was like, oh, that's sick. And then about 2 minutes later, I was like, oh shit, like we should, you know, we should do the premiere there. Like how sick is that? You know, New Zealand's best surfers down in Dunedin, you know, and Hydro were really, really supportive. I might have blown the budget a wee bit by hiring out a massive screen and like a whole like sound system. Like I remember, I hadn't even seen the quote yet. All I knew is we were getting, you know, a screen and, you know, sound system, all that. And the dude rocks up. Genuinely, it was almost the size of the entire like back wall of the Board Riders. It was massive. And then all these subwoofers and stuff. And I was just like, oh, I'm like, this is sick. But oh my god, this would be so expensive. But you know, Leroy Kathin at Hydro is like, ah, it's all good. You know, they fronted that, which is really awesome. You know, really, really sick crew turned out, you know, like not necessarily a crazy amount of people, but like, you know, some of New Zealand's best surfers, like some of, you know, Otipoti's like best creative. So that was really awesome. And yeah, to hear the feedback from that was, that's always the thing I appreciate the most, is kind of when people actually come up to you and like, you know, describe how the film made them feel and all that. That's kind of where I get a lot of my personal satisfaction from.
Highest highs and lowest lows of production.
I'd say with this is, you know, there's two phases. There's the filming and the production phase. So I'd say with the filming phase, the high was, that was the first time I'd ever been to Indonesia. I just had such this like specific image in my head. I want to be parked up on the Uluwatu cliff tops at sunset, filming the boys with the Bintang, having a wee ciggy. It's like day two. I just had that like realization moment. I was just sitting there ticking all those boxes and I was just like, oh my god, like it just doesn't get much better than that.
Yeah.
And then I guess the low point, or you know, it's one of the downsides of filming, is that I kind of didn't realize how, sounds stupid, but how easily my camera was gonna overheat. I got it down to an art by the end, but I could only have the camera on for about half hour, 40 minute chunks before it would overheat. And then I had to like switch it off. I'd like have to time it with the sets and be like I was literally looking at it, kind of counting like, all right, every 5-ish minutes there's a bit of a lull. And I'd turn the camera off, open up the battery compartment, take it out, allow it to cool down for like, you know, 5 or so minutes, and then as soon as you see a bit of life in the ocean, chuck that back in. So that was definitely a bit of a struggle. Wild. And then in terms of like the production side of it, I definitely struggled, particularly with the very first section section of the film that took a lot of time to get right. You know, I've been working on that section before we even went to Indonesia, and I had No Love Lost by Joy Division. That was the song I'd kind of had in my head for ages, and I genuinely spent, it would have been close, a month and a half just rearranging stuff, trying to make it work. Just nothing. It just, yeah, you know, it was just
yeah.
Nothing about it was work. And then I can't remember how, like, I've always listened to a band called Wand, and I was just randomly listening to one of their albums, and then Flying Golem, that popped on, and I was like, oh, that make for like a sick opening for a film. And I was like, oh wait, well, that's how I'm kind of in the market.
I'm doing a film.
And yeah, exactly. Flicked that through, and it just instantly just worked so well. So yeah, so that was probably the biggest, I'd say, struggle. But then, like, the pros of putting that film together is thanks to the fact I was more or less unemployed during that time, I had the time to not edit it. No, I could do a little bit and then not touch it for a week. As soon as I felt like I was hitting a wall or getting a little bit frustrated, I'd be like, nah, you know, even if I've got more energy today, I'm just going to leave it and I'm not going to do anything else. And then, you know, to be able to come back to it and not be under too much pressure, I feel like that really benefited the film.
You're right. That space where it's like, oh, okay, today I don't have to edit, because if you're doing it down to a time crunch, you just get so in your brain about it and it's so difficult to actually power through.
100%. Yes, I'd have that free space really benefited the film, especially because what I was trying to do with this one and compared to Basque was kind of, because at that time the Basque films were a little bit excessive in terms of their runtime and certain sections. With this, I was not what's the bare minimum, but like, how can I make this as tight as possible while not making it feel rushed was basically how I approached it. So, you know, so what, the film released in January, and I'd say by like October, I had most of the sections pretty much done, but it was having the ability to come back after a week and be like, okay, this is awesome, but I'm going to tweak these little things and fine tune it a little bit more and make it that little bit more tight was a real, real big highlight of, yeah, putting that film together.
You mentioned music before, and I just want to go back to that because this film has some great music. It really stood out to me when I was watching it. I was like, wow, this is sick. What's your process? Dude. I mean, you shared a little bit of it just then, but behind getting the soundtrack to a surf film, because it is a really important part of surf and skate films. What was that process like for you?
Yeah, 100%. For me, like, when I'm watching, you know, a skate edit or a surf film, like, music is such a massive part of it. In my mind, that's like 65 to 70% of what makes
a
film.
For sure.
So I guess my process, like, I'm a big music nerd, so I'm kind of, you know, discovering new bands and, you know, listening to lots of catalog, and I kind of have like a playlist on Spotify where I'm just hearing anything that, you know, sounds like it could do well in the surf film, I'll just whack it. And that's obviously got that playlist to draw from. But in terms of this film specifically, for the Indonesian sections, for that first Brian Jonestown Massacre tune, so obviously I'm a massive fan of them, been listening to them.
Oh, I love Brian Jonestown's Massacre, they're amazing.
Yes, that's it. I was lucky enough to go to the gig end of last year. But yeah, I didn't have a tune for that. And I kind of knew I wanted something with like a song that had a bit of like a lead up to the actual start of the song, something weird and a bit eerie. And I remember I was driving back from Blackhead with my mate, Jordan Sparrow, who's in the film. And I think I mentioned that about it. And he's a big music nerd as well. It's kind of like, oh yeah, I'll see if I got anything. I think he chucked on like a tune or two. And was like, oh yeah, that sounds sick. And then he put on that one by Jonestown. And as soon as that, you know, I don't know what instrument it is, it's like strings or something, came on, I was like, oh, okay, this is the right vibe. And as soon as they're like down 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 down, like that riff came, I was like, oh my god, man, this is perfect. And then I knew I wanted the second section of the endo bit to kind of be a bit more chill, and then just come across that song by Wand, which is in the same album as the opener. So that was pretty easy. And then for the last Dunedin section, again, I wasn't struggling with it per se, but kind of went through a few different versions. Originally, I was going to do Long Slow Goodbye by Queens of the Stone Age, because I guess at that point, kind of knew that I'd be leaving Dunedin in the next little bit, and that this would be kind of my last film made in Dunedin. So, and the lyrics of that song, you know, Long Slow Goodbye, are all about, you know, leaving a place, a person that you love. You know, it's kind of a real mean send-off, and it would have worked perfectly. But I remember, is it Simon Bjerke, who's also in the film as well, we'd filmed some stuff down at this spot in the peninsula, and he just flicked me a Snapchat of one of those clips with this heavy song by the Melvins, like it was proper grunge, and I was just like, oh nah, this film's kind of got to go out on a bit of a bang. Because
yeah.
I feel like music-wise, it's a little bit more mellow than the previous Fast films already. And so I was like, nah, this has got to be something pretty sick.
Yeah.
This band called Windhand, and kind of a perfect way to close out the film. Yeah, I honestly could go on about that process for hours. But yeah, that's the long and short of it.
You mentioned to me that you have a new project in the works possibly coming out at the end of this year, was it?
Yeah, so I've got to think about what I can and can't say.
Hey, you can give us all of the juicy insight.
All the juice. I'll do it for Radio 1, the homies. Yeah, I was back in Indonesia for 2 months, the dry season, our winter. So been really privileged again to partner up with Hydro, kind of based off the success of last year's film. They were really keen to kind of make another one. So this film, it's still in development. I'd say I'm about getting up to 70% done with it. I don't know, it's definitely going to be a bit of a different sort of film, because the long and short of it, for a 2 month trip in Indonesia, we kind of got skunked most of the time, to be honest.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Or in terms of, you know, our expectation of the surfing we want to have in the film is quite high at the moment. So yeah, so we got about maybe a week and a bit of really pumping surf, but you know, a week out of 2 months is a little bit disheartening. Yeah. So, and there's still some really sick surfing and some clips that I'm like genuinely really proud of. I think the ender clip of the film is the best water shot I've ever gotten in my life. So I'll put that out there. It's pretty epic.
Yeah, that's a big statement.
Yeah. But it all, I feel like the beginning of the film also leans a bit into the psyche of a surf trip like that. So yeah, so I haven't recorded all the audio yet, but it's going to be me kind of yawning about the trip and all that, because you know, I've got a few thoughts. My sense of narrative with the voice being me will kind of guide the film lot more, and we might get some audio from the boys as well, but yeah, as you can tell, still haven't finished that bit yet. I'm still kind of thinking through a bit, and there's also a lot of random psychedelic visuals in there as well, which is pretty sick. Interesting.
I'm looking forward to it. That's really exciting. Are you going to be showing it down in Utupati as well?
That is the plan. Obviously, it's still pretty early days, but fully planning on doing a screening in Dunedin will most likely be, I'd say, early December is what we're aiming for at the moment. I've literally just been on the phone today with Catherine from there. Also worth mentioning, so Sun Zapper come on to support the film as well, so they're generally not even a plug, the like best like sunscreen zinc I've ever used. We had a whole bunch of it with us in Indonesia the whole time, and it was just such an amazing product. So yeah, pretty stoked to have them on board as well. But yeah, so we haven't wanted to need in, we've locked in a date for a screening in Tauranga at the moment, which is nice. Pretty sick, and hopefully will be a bit more info about that coming soon. Can't really say a bit more than that, other than I'm really excited. And then we might have a couple dates lined up for Auckland potentially.
Wow, that's
as well.
Amazing.
But those are, yeah, those are still in the works. It's still early days. That's kind of all info and nice little tidbits. Sick. I got for Radio 1.
Oh, thank you very much. I'm loving it. I got two last questions. Number one, what advice would you give to some young filmmaker wanting to get into this kind of line of videography?
I guess you got to come into it with the right mindset. It's going to be very hard to build a career in New Zealand doing this sort of stuff. You know, there's not much of a surf industry in New Zealand. You got to come from it from the viewpoint of you're doing it purely for the love and the joy of it. And I'd say probably the biggest thing is like you've got to do it, which sounds so cliche. But you know, I've, over the years, you know, I've heard, you know, lots of people be really keen to make their own surf film, and they have all of these awesome, crazy ideas, which are awesome. You know, they're really excited, but then they don't start filming, and that's the biggest step. Is
yeah.
You got a few people you want to make a surf film or skate film or whatever it is. You've literally just got to line up a single session or something and get out there. You don't have to have everything sorted, especially with like the way surf films are. It's not something that really thrives, I think, from having everything planned out. Say if you're making a fictional short film or something, I think it benefits from the fact that these kind of adventures and stories, they just happen. You can't plan, you know. Definitely, you know, have an idea of what sort of film, you know, you're wanting to make 100%, but don't let like having everything sorted hold you back at all. Once you get into the filming process, the type of film you're making and the story slowly starts to reveal itself. And And yeah. I've found once I've got all the footage at the end of it, that tells its own story at the end of the day. And then often what I end up with is like so completely different to what I thought I would have at the end of it. So yeah, biggest advice is just get out there and just start shooting. Doesn't have to be perfect, but once you get the ball rolling, it all sort of starts to fall into place. Yeah,
exactly. Well said. And my last question is more of a request for you to shout out a recommendation. Recommended watch.
Ooh, recommended watch. This really awesome Kiwi surf film that just came out by features Tommy Butlin. It's by George. I butchered his last name. It's called Desert Dogs, and I think it is the best New Zealand surf film to come out of the country. Period. Yeah, it's filmed all in Morocco. Tommy's surfing is just off the charts. It's amazing, and then like they've got such a unique filming style as well, and it's just really cool to see such high quality stuff kind of coming out of New Zealand. And then Penny Coastal. I think it's just the most perfect surf film. 36 minutes. I don't think any words are said, but just the atmosphere and the music choice, you just get sucked into this like weird gritty atmosphere. And it's got some hell surfing in it as well. So yeah, if you need any inspiration, definitely check that out for sure.
Thank you so much for joining me, Isaac. It's been lovely to talk to you.
No, likewise. Yeah, no, thanks for your questions, Ava.
And we'll keep an eye out for your next project. Looking forward to it.
Yeah, awesome. Nah, cheers, Liz. Really appreciate it.
All of our content lives online at r1.co.nz.